Hello and welcome to Pish Talk. I'm joined as always by Dave Conrad.
What's up?
First of all, going to give a shout out to the patrons, talking about Ian Downey, Kirsty Bailey, Chris McCulloch, Gordon Brown, Ben Wacker, Adam Wilson, Joe's mum, Brian Smith, Daniel Bedencourt, Jamie Flood, James Pointer, Will Ledworth, David McCarthy, Ross Wilson, Jordan Schofield, Barry Carruthers, James Weiss, David Thornton, The Concierge, Global Cameron, Corey Bellman, Lou Markham, Sky. Can't forget Sky. I couldn't get the words out of my mouth there. By the way, what's happening with you, man?
Not much, man. Just been chilling. I'm kind of just been competing. So now I'm just chilling out a little bit, relaxing, kind of easing up, slowing down a little bit, like giving myself a chance to sort of recover. I've got like a number of injuries, but so it's just chill out, stream, PT, all the usual fun. What about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of, well, obviously it's just fresh off the Ring of Honor news, so yep. It's an interesting time. I mean, first of all, I do want to say, like, Ring of Honor have been pretty awesome throughout this whole pandemic situation. Like, it has made quite a fundamental difference to my life, and I think people should know that Ring of Honor have gone above and beyond to support the talent, and it's just one of these unfortunate things that can't be helped, you know. But I really enjoyed my time there. It was brief, but quite honestly, having that 6 months on the road, it made absolutely everything worth it. You know, all the struggle, all that, it was the dream job. So shout out to Ring of Honor for that. It's time to kind of look for the next opportunity and see what's next. So I'm excited about that. But amongst all that, it is good to take a little bit of time off and just talk some nonsense. So I think last time we did have a laugh, but we tried the kind of me scouring through Reddit formula. Whereas sometimes you do have the better podcast when we just yap. We just talk. So why don't we go with that and see what
I think
happens.
That's a good idea, dude. I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, just off the top of my head, like, anything.
It's hard when you force it, isn't it? It's like you try and force a topic and then it's like, where did you get those clothes? The toilet store?
Well, I was just thinking, like, what's been going on, like, in the world? Like, what has been going on in the world? And I think we had a couple of big things that happened. The old Alec Baldwin situation, that was a bit nuts, wasn't it?
It's pretty nuts, but not really something that we can cover too much in a comedy podcast, I think.
I mean, yeah, there's not much comedy in that, is there?
No.
You know what is comedic? The new Nintendo Switch Online thing.
How come?
Well, have you seen that? So they've got the Nintendo 64 games.
Oh, no way.
Dude, have you not seen
this? On the Switch?
Yeah, dude.
Damn.
Have you not seen this?
No.
Bro, so you know how you can get the Nintendo Switch Online?
Yeah.
And they've got SNES and NES and all that shit, right?
Yeah.
They now have Nintendo 64
mm-hmm.
and Sega Genesis.
And Sega Genesis?
Yes, dude. But...
damn, dude. They've done the old... the Forbidden Door.
But, dude.
But.
But. There's a huge but. There is a monster-sized but.
I'm going to guess what it is.
Dude, there is a morbidly obese
but. I bet I can guess what it is.
Go for it.
There's no Sonic.
No. Sonic's there.
Oh, okay.
It's £50 for the year.
To play all them?
Yep. Just not too bad. But apparently, so far, they've been worse than other emulations. So, for example, input lag is almost is insane.
All right, so you don't download the games?
No.
Oh.
Have you not done the online stuff before? It's like a Netflix... it's like Netflix.
Right.
It's like you stream the game. You don't actually, like, buy it.
£50 a year.
Yeah, dude. I'm not a fan of it, man.
That seems extreme.
I'm not a fan. Not because of the cost.
That seems team extreme.
I just...
I love wrestling music back in the day. It was just like, what about... and then, wait, what about...
what about...
That is a genius song, that one. We've talked about that before, but it is funny how, like, the first one is the best.
Yes.
Without doubt. It's just like, well, and then after that it's like, well.
Dude, when I was younger, I thought it was him singing the song.
I've heard this before. A lot of people say that they thought every wrestler who had music like that, they sang it themselves. Like, did Shawn Michaels actually sing his song?
No, I don't think so.
No?
Dude, get the Google. Dude, research. I don't believe it. I don't believe you.
Oh my God.
Dude, it's a bit...
They're listening to us. I put, did Shawn Michaels, and the first thing that came up is sing his song. If you're
listening, must be a popular topic though.
If you're listening to this podcast right now, type that in.
Yeah, type that into Google right now and then tweet us, let us know what the top result was, because I want to know.
That probably is a popular one though.
I mean, I think so.
Okay.
Did he sing it?
I think he did.
Get the fuck out. No way.
So the song, right, okay, so here we go.
I don't believe it. I'm shocked. I don't think it was him.
No, Shawn Michaels famously sang his own theme song.
Shit. Is he the first one to do it?
No, I don't think so, because Michael Hayes did his.
Oh, Bad Street USA. Yeah, okay, yeah. They did Bad Street USA. Okay, that's fair. To be fair, though, wasn't Michael Hayes, like, the Freebirds were famous for basically popularizing entrance music in general.
Is that true?
I think so.
Imagine having no entrance music before. I mean, now that you mention it, like, I remember seeing, like, ancient, like, Ric Flair matches, and it's like, all right.
Yeah, dude, Mania 3, Andre had no music.
Really?
Have you not seen that?
No.
He had no music at Mania 3.
As in, like, did anyone... Bother Folk had music, right?
Yeah, Hogan had music.
But maybe it was that to, like, you know, they always say the power of silence. Was that a purposeful choice, or...?
I'm not... Well, who else did it... I know Macho Man probably did, right? On Mania 3. But did Ricky Steamboat? Did he have music? I'm curious.
I don't know.
Get the research, dude. It's research time. Dude, we are detectives. We are going to find out.
When did wrestling entrance music begin? Wow, look at this. Gorgeous George is credited as the first wrestler to truly utilize entrance music during the 1940s and 50s.
Ooh.
Back then, his theme was Pomp and Circumstance.
Damn, dude.
Dude.
Well, that's it, dude, because the thing is, right, if you think about it, how many guys, like, Steve Austin on his podcast talked about this. He said he got heat in one of the Southern Territories because he, like, gave a cassette tape of, like, a Van Halen song and, like, said, asked them to play it, and he got heat for it because they were like, nah, dude, only the top guys get music. And he was, like, a jobber at the time. And he was like, what? And he didn't realize. He just saw what the Freebirds were doing in Texas and thought, fuck, I like that. And then it got him heat, apparently.
There you go.
So,
did you not do the exact same thing?
What?
Like, use Van Halen?
I've used Van Halen's music, yes. And I do like Van Halen.
You just want to be Stunning Steve Austin, don't you?
No, dude, I want to be Stone Cold Steve Austin, because he was actually, like, successful and awesome.
Dude, I remember that. Victoria used the song Tattoo. The, oh, this you said...
Dude, she used Evanescence as well. She used the, what was it?
Wake me up inside. Did she?
I think she... I don't know, here's the thing. Come on. I think she did.
Well, the thing is, are you sure? Because that song was the theme song for, was it No Way Out 2002 or 2003?
2003, the one with Rock Hogan 2, right? That was the one with Rock Hogan 2. No, wait, yeah, because Rock Hogan 1 was...
That was so iconic. Remember when wrestling music just used to be, like, amazing? I was in the car the other day and it was like... I hear, like, a voice that don't be so... I can't remember what the exact lyrics are.
Dude, do you remember...
I just can't live without you. You actually listen to the lyrics of that, and it sounds like the most abusive relationship ever. It's like, am I your only one desire? It's like, no, I like
many things.
Your one and only desire.
I was listening to some certain songs, and it's like... Have you ever seen those videos on YouTube? I think you've seen them before. And it's how many wrestling songs are based off other actual songs.
Aye.
And it's insane, dude. I was listening to, like, some Hank Williams the other day. And, dude, Honky Tonk Blues is just Honky Tonk Man's theme song.
Fair enough.
It's exactly the same. And I was like, what?
Well, dude, have you heard DDP's one, Self High Five?
Yeah, it's exactly the same. It's like, doo-doo, doo-doo, doo-doo.
Oh. Did you hear that? And that was a loud
noise. That was loud.
We got Domino's on the way. It's gone from prep to in the oven.
Damn right.
Yeah.
That's the way.
But yeah, imagine that. Like, Dave Grohl actually said, yeah, WCW owes us money. Dude, you should see some of the merch that WCW had.
Oh, dude.
They had their own
imagine.
Cologne. There's WCW Nitro Cologne.
Dude, if anybody out there in podcast land has... Look... I'm asking you this, right? I'm going to ask you a couple of very specific questions regarding the cologne. One, I want to know from, I want to hear from people who have the cologne currently. Two, I want to hear from people who had the cologne.
And dude, it's worth $250.
Oh my God. Who had the cologne and used it. And three, I want to know your success rate. I want to know your success rate. Did you get a date based off of wearing the WCW Nitro cologne?
There's a perfume called Attitude by WWF as well.
No, there's so not.
Apparently there is. It's like,
fuck's sake.
I'm going out with the bird tonight. I can't decide whether I'm going to do Nitro or Attitude. Eh? Like, I just mate, can't decide.
This is like, remember the Sex Panther scene in Eggman?
Yeah,
it's just like, it's called Attitude.
Yeah, it's like, this is the, like Lex Luger's like, I'm doing both.
No, you know, you do, dude. You spray on Attitude, and it's just like, it's a man in the soul of you. When you walk out the door, or just you walk out the door. Remember the original Raw intro from like 97, where it's like, yeah. When you walk out your front door, and it's like, mate, he's a way to go and put it down, mate. I'm telling you.
So let's try and find this, like, if we were to buy it online. Let's have a look.
So obviously we're going to start eBay.
See, it says 40 quid. That must be starting.
Or it's got to be fake. I want the real shit, dude. I don't want any of this fake.
Buy it now for 30. It's got to be fake, surely.
How many's he got? Let's look at the thing. Let's look at the thing, because how many's he got? Because if he's only got one, then okay.
Two available, four sold. I find it difficult to believe that someone's gone, I've got myself some Nitro cologne.
I think this is fake.
Yeah, it must be. That's like, kid, I went out last night, yeah, I gave myself a wee spray of the Nitro cologne, eh? Like,
mate, birds were falling off me, eh? Like,
that's, mate, links of it. Nitro effect, mate.
Mate, Davidoff cool water my arse, mate.
That, mate, I use my Nitro cologne and my Thunder deodorant, eh? Like,
aye, mate, I've got the old Sunday night heat lip balm, eh? Like,
mate, I've got my ECW nose trimmers as well.
But again, what really set it off was my fucking Velocity hair conditioner, like.
What was that promotion called that was after WCW that was like basically WCW?
Oh,
In Europe. You know that they came to Europe.
Oh, you know, I know the one you're talking about. Is that the one that had like a lot of the tribute acts on it? Like the UK rock and shit?
No. Yeah, I had like Steiner, Jarrett.
Did they tour the UK?
Yeah.
Just
after.
What were they called? It was like
World Wrestling All Stars.
That's it. That yeah. It.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's it. It's like, mate, I've got the World Wrestling All Stars aftershave. Eh? That's what I like to do, mate. I'll use my Gillette Fusion razor. Get a wee bit of the Nitro. Wee bit of the Nitro after, mate.
Oh. Mate, that's it.
God damn. I want to know,
I've
guys.
Got my, I've got my my XPW face wash as well. Eh? Like.
I've got my TNA Impact on toothbrush and toothpaste, mate. What was it they called it? It was the Impact Zone it was originally.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I want to know.
Can't
from
be
people.
That, mate. I've got my I've got my Memphis Wrestling sun cream as well. Oh, man.
I want to know, like, so we're gonna open up the floodgates. I'm gonna open up the door here. Anyone, right, who had any wrestling related body scrub, shampoo, toothpaste, aftershave, cologne, any wrestling related at all, even if it was like The Rock's own like deodorant back in the day, I want to hear about it from you, because I want to know. I'm telling you now, like, that's the one thing they tell, I learned as I was growing up, right? When I was growing up, they were like, don't ever buy like sport aftershave.
Sorry to interrupt you, right? But so why don't you buy sport aftershave?
Because it's just like Umbro shit. And just like, right. Oh, okay. You don't want to smell like Umbro.
Do you remember this? Because I'm looking at this and I remember this. Maximum Sweat action figures. I remember them in the toy shop, dude.
This sounds familiar. What year was this?
They were all like jacked up like street sharks. And you would like, you got like sweat and you could pour it in and you'd like push a button and be like, Kane's sweating, eh? Like.
It reminds me of like, do you remember like SmackDown versus Raw 06 or something? It was like, mate, look at the sweat technology. And it's like, okay. And then by the next year, it was like, where's that sweat technology gone? It's like, we left it out.
See, I'm looking at this one. They've got like an underwater Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Aye, for when fucking Stone Cold wants to deep dive under the sea. Jesus, what the fuck?
It's like Stone Cold Steve Austin Underwater Siege. He's got a harpoon gun. He's got a mask. He's got like an oxygen tank.
Aye, for when he wants the fucking under the sea championship. Aye.
What's Ken Shamrock doing? They've got Ken Shamrock doing something as well. They've got Ken Shamrock with body armor, grenades, and a rifle. That's pretty cool, if you ask me. I like that. See, they've got the Titantron. Dude, that Titantron is badass. I love that.
Is this the worst wrestling merch ever?
It is, but I disagree with that one. I think that's cool. The Titantron was cool as hell. But have you heard about this? The talking soap?
No. What the fuck is that? When
you wash, it talks to you.
I feel like The Rock is the only guy you could market that with. Where it's like, if you're some male like The Rock.
That's smart. Dude, an AWA cage playset. There you go. I didn't even know they had that. What
was the first piece of wrestling merch? Not including t-shirts, because I feel like the Hulkamania t-shirts was like the first major t-shirt.
Wow, well, we can't mention this one. We'll crack on.
Dude, some of this merch is more recent than you'd think as well.
Yeah, I actually like a lot of that stuff, I gotta be honest.
I think, dude, I had the WWF SmackDown with a fist, the plate set with a fist. You know, like the arena where it had the fist. Dude, it was amazing. That was amazing. And you had the ring, and it was like attached to the ring. It had like the little. So this is the thing as well. It had. Remember how the SmackDown set had all those like metallic pieces of like. I think they were supposed to be the glass that had shattered from the fist coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically had like the. It was like weird chrome kind of shiny stickers that you put over the pieces of plastic to make them seem like shiny pieces of glass.
Right.
Dude, that was the best. I had that. You would like stick the vinyls on the ring at the side to be like SmackDown. God. Wrestling merch was... I'll tell you what. People can give a lot of crap to wrestling merch, but there was some decent bits of kit.
Now, that Buff Bagwell t-shirt is interesting. I will say that. That's a rough one.
I wonder, what was the first piece of wrestling merch that doesn't include Hulkamania t-shirts? Because Hulk Hogan is pretty much... I don't know if he was the first. I don't think... He probably wasn't. But I think he was the guy that popularized t-shirts in wrestling, right? But I feel, again, like Freebirds might have been before him or something. Or maybe the Von Erichs were before him.
I don't know. I'm trying to find it. First ever wrestling merch.
Because I'm like, because Hogan pretty publicly stated that he was the guy that went like, and was like, bro, we should do this with t-shirts. Like, we'll get yellow t-shirts, print Hulkamania on them, and they'll sell like crazy. And I think he's himself said that, which in hindsight, yeah, no shit. Like, that's genius. Genius. And it's, you know, popularized wrestling t-shirts today. Old school wrestling. Legend Shop.
I'm trying to find it.
Yeah.
World's oldest sport wrestling t-shirt. I'm not sure. No.
Oh, it's just a t-shirt.
It's just a generic wrestling.
Just like a generic wrestling t-shirt. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to find this.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay, go for it.
What is the best wrestling t-shirt of all time?
Well, I'll tell you. I'll tell you the first one I ever bought. It was the first live wrestling show I ever went to. We've spoke about it before. It was I think it was Sheffield or Birmingham.
Figured out it was Sheffield, I think.
Thank God you remember. But yeah, I was like 15 at the time, and it was just awesome. Like, see, when you look at the card now, like the opener was Rhino versus Eddie Guerrero for the US title.
Insane.
The opener.
Insane.
The opener.
You had what? You're Rey Mysterio? Like, and...
Yep, you had Rey Mysterio on it, Ultimo Dragon, Matt Hardy.
Lesnar.
Yep, you had Lesnar Taker for the WWE title.
Jesus.
You had, like, I think it was Kurt Angle and Benoit versus Big Show and Cena. You had...
Good God.
Dude, there were so many...
What a freaking card.
Yeah, dude, there were so many, like, big matches on it.
Fuck.
And that was, like, when you think about that, you're just like, damn. That's pretty stacked.
That was your first wrestling.
It was
experience.
My first ever wrestling show, and I got
live experience.
I got a John Cena T-shirt, and
which one?
I hope I've still got it. I think it might be at my dad's somewhere. It was the Word Life T-shirt, the white one
with the blue
right there, the two hand.
That's cool.
Now this is the crazy thing. So
how big were you at the time in terms of size?
Small.
So it wouldn't have fit you now?
Oh, no way would it fit me.
Oh, that's a shame.
But this is a cool story, actually. So I, a year later, my friend, or was, I think it was a year later, this was when Cena was, he just won the US title at WrestleMania. And I couldn't go to that tour, but I went to the last one, I think. And then my friend, so my phone goes, and it's my friend Kyle, the number that comes up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I answer the phone, and I just hear, yo, it's your boy John Cena. And I'm like, aye, very good, Kyle. And he's like, he's like, no, really, it's your boy John Cena. And I was like, is this a joke? He's like, no, your boy Kyle, who said you couldn't make it to the show, so he asked me to give you a little call.
Good God,
Cena called me.
Called me
when I was 15 years old.
That's insane.
Yeah, and literally talked to me for like 5 minutes.
What did you talk about?
Well, he said, oh, who'd you like on the roster? And who, you know, I was like,
yeah.
And I remember saying to him, I was like, oh, John, I think you're going to win the title at WrestleMania next year. So I like to think that it was me that spurred him on. You know, I like to think it was me.
Dude, you spurred him on. You changed the face of wrestling.
That's it, man. That's it. That's it. Now, what is crazy about that is, and I told him as well, I was like, oh, I don't like that guy on the roster, so can you better him for me? and he was like, I'll take care of it. If I get drafted to Raw, I'll take care of it. So that was cool. Now, here's the crazy thing.
All right, go for it.
10 years later, when I did my first WWE tryout, I saw a scene on the corridor and I thought, ah, why not?
And No way.
Yeah, I've never told you this. And I went out to him, I was like, listen, I was like, just wanted to say thanks for when I was 15, like, I couldn't make it to an event. You literally called me from my friend's mobile. And it was really one of the things that got me hugely into the business. So, like,
holy shit, dude.
I really appreciate that, man. He was like, oh, that's cool. Thanks for letting me know, man. And then just went our separate ways.
Holy shit, dude.
So there you go.
Sounds like a cool guy.
Yeah. He talked to me for legit probably 5 minutes. And I'm like, what do you say? When you're on the phone, what do you say? I'm on the phone to John Cena and I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, what do you say? Yeah.
When I think about it, I've ended up on the phone with some like insane like names and you're just like, how did this happen?
What do you mean? Who else have you been on the phone with?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm not going to reveal what it was, a business, potential business project.
Oh, okay.
Did I tell you about the recent one?
No.
I had a phone conversation with Jesse Ventura.
Oh God!
I won't say what it is, but like, no, it was just for those of you who don't know, I've kind of been building like a few businesses and stuff like that. So there was something that we nearly.
Oh damn, dude!
I got a quick chat with him, but didn't go any further than that. But like, I'm a huge mark for Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, man.
So it was that was a really cool. Even though nothing came to it, it was awesome to talk to a legend like that, you know?
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts, man.
You talked to on the phone to some crazy-ass people.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky, man. Like, I had my first tryout, like, literally 9 months into the business. So I started, no, it was maybe 10 months. So I started training in January 2013, and that story was from November 2013.
Damn.
So I just remember showing up to the arena.
Because you got to try out really like quick after.
Yeah, before I'd had my first singles match.
It's crazy.
So that's my first actual singles match outside the training school.
Was it in a WWE ring?
Yes.
God damn.
So, and I'll never forget, it was a closed arena. So it was just the talent in the arena. And my first ever wrestling match was in front of about 10 people. But those 10 people were like CM Punk, Big Show,
Jesus.
William Regal, Fit Finlay. You know what I mean? It was just...
Where was your head at?
Well, do you know, here's another crazy thing. PJ Black was one of the people there. And he like was really nice and gave me some feedback. And now, you know, me and him worked together multiple times in Ring of Honor and got on really well on the road and stuff like that. And it's just crazy how things come full circle.
It's a smaller world. It's a smaller world than you think. Like, I remember growing up, you're like, dude, like... America and WWE and all these are so far away, and then you look and you go, well, they're not as far away as you think. Like,
I'll tell you as well, PJ Black is one of the soundest guys you'll meet. You know how there's certain people in the business how they're just, everybody likes them, no one says a bad word about them.
Yeah,
he's one of those people, man. He's so cool, and he's like, he's done so much in the business. People forget he's main evented pay-per-views.
Yeah, he
like
has.
The Nexus were like on top. Like he main evented pay-per-views. And so he has literally been there, done it, and seen it all. And he's just, he never like...
Never lets anything like, never, go to his head.
Never. Like he'll talk to anybody. Like he's just the soundest
That's
guy.
That's what you want though, isn't it? You want guys that are cool and remember... I remember Drew was a lot like that when he came back to the UK. Like when he first came back to the UK, I wasn't sure what to make of him. And at the time, I was a nobody and stuff like that. But he was nice. He was a nice guy. Again, very, very happy to give feedback. Very happy to help guys come up. So I remember that. Like other guys I've worked with as well, that like you wouldn't expect them to be nice guys, but like they don't have to be. Do you know what I mean? They don't have to be.
Drew did an incredible amount for my career. Like genuinely, yeah. I remember when we first started working together in What Culture, he was like, he said to me, he was like, dude, he was like, you're so talented with your entrances and stuff like that. And he's like, but if you want to be like a big star in this business, you're going to need to show more intensity. And he's like, I'm the most intense wrestler in the world. And he says, so if anyone's going to get it out of you, it'll be me. And I was like, God damn.
That's it, dude. Sometimes, that was cool, man. Sometimes you do that, man. Sometimes it's like it takes the right person to get it out of you.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Drew's just another level. One of those special talents, man. But like I just see when, you know, it's the whole Ring of Honor situation, it's times like this I take a step back and I go, God, like, you know, I mean, I'm not going to lie, right? This last couple of years, but especially the last year, has been pretty rough for me.
You fucking liar.
Yeah. It's been pretty rough for me. If I sat here and told everyone all the things that happened in my life in the last year, I'd think people would they'd be like, nah. Who's writing this?
It's been a pretty brutal one for you, yeah.
But that being said, it's weird. I feel like even in that state, it's like, even though I've been on the shelf for, obviously I've started back with live events and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, I was on the shelf for like 18 months.
Yeah.
But even still, I find myself just in a state of gratitude because I think when I was frustrated and I'm watching my colleagues all get over on telly and I'm like, well, why can't I be over there? You know, and it was frustrating. Like, whereas now the bubble's like burst, if you know what I mean. I know what's happening. It's like Ring of Honor are kind enough to let us go and pursue independent opportunities now.
Yeah.
Which is very good, and they did not have to do that. But now that they've allowed us to do that, I can get out there into the world again, and I found myself kind of just enjoying it again. Like I've got a big database of promotions that, like you see, I've been spending like the last couple of days.
Dude, you've been doing it scientific.
Yeah, putting together a massive database of all the wrestling promotions in the world that I want to approach. And it's just fun because, you know, I've still got my visa, and it's like I've never been able to do the American indies before.
Yeah,
like I've done the Canadian scene extensively, like all throughout, you know, on Ontario, like Toronto and London and all that, but I've also gone through like the French Canadian sector. Like I've gone through like there, I can't remember what it is. I think like KFC is not called KFC there. It's like PFK or something like that.
What?
Dude, I swear to God, it's nuts. Give me 2 seconds.
Right? What?
Yeah, yeah. Like, so what is KFC called in Canada, right? Yeah, PFK.
What? What does that stand for?
Poulet Free Kentucky. So chicken fried in Kentucky.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Alright, so let's call it, but where is it? Well, it's in Kentucky. What do you do with it? Well, we fry it. And what is it? Well, it's chicken.
So if they did it the other way around, it would be KFP. But yeah, it was, so I love it how that's the one thing I remember. But dude, that was wild. Like, I remember I had this show in a bar, and it was like, it wasn't like a wrestling crowd, but people were like, rah, and they were loving it. And it's just like, God, there's so many places in America I would love to go. I've never done an American independent show.
Dude, they look like a different animal. They look like a different world. And I think to get the chance to kind of go through that stuff and experience that stuff, it's going to help you. You're going to pick up new things. That's the thing, dude. It's like you're going to pick up new experiences. And again, those are the things you can't replicate by studying tape. You can't get that from studying the business. You can't get that by studying your own matches. Well, you can only get it by going to other places and learning from other guys. Like, you never know, dude. Like, as much as like, and we've talked about it before, where it's like, I've done pretty much fuck all in the business. But I've got a unique perspective on the business that can sometimes be decent. But in the grand scheme, my opinion doesn't really hold that much weight when it comes to pro wrestling, right? You might find someone on an independent in America that's got fucking 25 years experience, who has just a little gold nugget they can give you in terms of like, when you're doing this, try this, or try something that way, or how about this? And you never know how many of those you might come across just by touring those indies.
Do you know, this is the way I look at it, you know that, you know, we'll get into the reasons why or whatever, but you know that song that, you know, you have certain songs that have moments in your life and they're just, they it attaches more meaning to them because of yes. what happens at the time. So you know that song Sunscreen, right?
Yes.
There's a moment in it where it says, do something every day that scares you.
Yeah.
And it's quite scary to go from the comfort of having a paycheck coming in, you know, being really well taken care of, to actually having to go and fend for yourself every single week.
Yep.
You know, it's like, it's tough. It is, I'm not going to lie. It is really, really tough, but it's very scary. But I think it is one of those, maybe that's a good thing.
Well, that's
maybe
the thing,
it will push
dude.
Me.
Yeah, you know? That's it, dude. Like, sometimes you gotta do that.
And here's the thing, like, I've got a year left on my visa, so it's like, I don't, you know, who knows? I mean, I think I'll probably get my visa renewed. I'll be somewhere where I'll get my visa renewed. I would like to think that I'm good enough that I could do that. But I don't know for a fact when I'll next ever have a visa for the States again.
Yeah.
So to not use that would be foolish, you know?
100%.
So I'm going to try and get out there as quickly as I can. And honestly, I want to hire like something crazy, like a Mustang or a Dodge Viper, and just go on a road trip.
Hell yeah, dude.
That's what I want to do.
Fuck yeah. Go on, dude, drive the open road, right? They talk about it. There's so many places I see in America that I'd like to visit. And not even America, just Canada as well. Like, I see so many different places that I look at and I go, I would like to go there and see what it looks like in real life.
Do you know
what?
You can, I would recommend Canada, and here's why. Because not only is it amazing, but you can work there without a visa.
See,
believe it or not, wrestling is one of the three occupations that does not require a visa in Canada. Pro
really?
Wrestling, yes. There's
Why?
A there's an amendment for pro wrestling. It's musicians.
It's the Hart family amendment, bro.
It's yep, that's it. It's it's musicians and entertainers, right? So it's like music and film, circus performers, and professional wrestlers.
I mean, professional wrestling kind of encapsulates all three of those.
It does. So that's why I've been able to work for Smash throughout the years.
Dude.
That's why, and this is what people don't understand. They would always go like, oh, Joe Hendry's, he didn't get over an Impact. And it's like, no. It's like, if you were there when I dropped that video on Cat Arena, the access denied one, the one where I talked about the Paul Burchill thing.
Yeah.
Like, that got over, but then I wasn't on TV for, you know, another 3 or 4 months because
yeah.
they were doing the American shows. I could only do Impact when they were in Canada or Mexico. And people don't know that. They just thought I couldn't be there. Whereas now I actually have a visa. So something like that would be much more viable, you know?
Well, I want to look at Canada. So any Canadian companies out there?
Dude, some of my best times ever in the business or in Canada. Absolutely loved it. Like, it's too many promotions that I had an awesome time with to name, but like, obviously, like Smash Wrestling, like that was like my home away from home. Genuinely, Smash Wrestling became my home promotion. It became like, other than like, obviously, like What Culture and Defiant was a home promotion for a long time, but it was like, it was ICW, then it was What Culture, and then there was a period of time where Smash was like right up there for me. Like,
didn't you have exclusive like merch in Smash as well?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I remember that was, dude, I remember that, man, when, you know, back in, that's the thing, I relied on merchandise. Like,
that's what I was about to say, dude. Like, as much as you're saying it's scary going forward, like this idea of going and fending for yourself and doing these new things, it's like, you've been there. You've done that before.
I have been there, but that was off the back of being on, so you got to remember the other factors at play. So I was selling merch when British wrestling was red hot.
That's, yeah, okay, that's fair.
British wrestling was red hot.
That's fair play.
I was getting literally millions of views for these like entrances. There was like, you know, what I was doing, What Culture Gaming, What Culture MMA. Like, I was getting a lot of
exposure.
That's
true, yeah.
So there's a lot of those things. Whereas when you're working on like a TV product, it's a slightly, it's a more mainstream audience, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is, you're reaching more people and you've got to wrestle and appeal to the audience in a slightly different way. But then you have to, so for example, in Ring of Honor, I guess the thing that's sad for me is it's like, I really feel like me and Dalton, when we tagged, I was just saying to you today, like that last time we tagged, I feel like we were really getting somewhere. and we were getting over, and then it was just pandemic, you know. Yeah. I'll never forget it.
Just a very unfortunate timing.
Me, Mark, and Vicky Haskins were on the plane going to Las Vegas. Everything was going ahead. Plane landed, and Mark just shouted over, "Show's cancelled." And I was like, "What?" And that was lockdown.
Oh.
And we thought that we were... And that was the night it was supposed to be me and Dalton versus the Briscoes. Wait for it on the anniversary show. So that was like their... The anniversary show is like at least their SummerSlam or Survivor Series.
Yeah, that's big.
And that was the big test for me and
Fuck,
Dalton.
Fuck, dude.
And dude, I'm not going to reveal anything, but let's just say if that had gone well, you know, I feel like things were going to go well after that.
Fucking
if we delivered.
Hell, dude.
But then again,
but what's for you won't go past you.
Well,
dude.
That's it, man. Like, I mean, my life's taken a slightly different turn, and you know, right now we're like, there. I look at the good things and the bad things, and it's like even though the last year in particular has been very challenging, there are a lot of positives to take from it.
Yeah.
And this is one thing I do want to say. I know this is meant to be a comedy podcast. I'm just yapping about myself right now, but I'm very thankful the support I've got from the fans. Like, you do. I know it sounds so cliched, but like, it is all because of their support. Like, that is what shows the companies who's over. It was at the door.
Yeah.
I'll go get it.
So what were you saying?
So, we should have trusted Gromit as the unofficial doorbell. It was a false alarm, but that was weird. We both thought we heard the door.
Dude, I swear the door went.
And I went downstairs, and no one was there.
Maybe like, it was away
there was
from
no
the...
one at any of the other doors.
Dude, maybe the universe was trying not to get you being sappy on the podcast.
Maybe that's it. It was like, enough of that, mate. Let's get chatting about
it. But no, you're... I get what you're saying. You're 100% right, dude. And like, on a smaller scale, like, I feel that with certain things, you know? But like, with Twitch, I'm doing well with Twitch at the moment, you know? It's getting there. Like, I literally, like, I won't give any details, but I got offered my first, like, brand deal today.
Did you?
Yeah, dude.
That's awesome.
Like, it's cool, you know? It's cool.
Yeah.
So it's like little things like that. So it's like, it's starting to go, and it's because of people supporting what you do. Because it's like...
That's amazing, dude.
You get, like... And I think you say with pro wrestling, it's the same thing. Like, the bookers decide and the promoters decide, but the fans ultimately are the ones that decide. Because if someone's getting over like Rover, if someone's selling t-shirts, if someone's getting cheered or booed out the building, or if someone's just, if there's a very visceral, raw reaction.
You can only deny it for so long.
Yeah.
And that's what's so great about wrestling just now. It's like, look, we've all been in promotions where you're over and the bookers don't recognize it. Well, guess what? Just go to another promotion.
Yeah.
You know?
I wish I'd done that, dude. There's been moments where that's happened for me and I just, you know, you got to take advantage of it. And I just didn't.
Well, I think the key is to never take it personally. Like, because
you
can, what to do, pick your favorite wrestler and then find me someone who hasn't been told that they're not going to make it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Think about all the things that Stone Cold Steve Austin got told. Think about how The Rock must have felt when he was doing that babyface run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There would have been people that are like, nah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Think about everything The Miz had to go through.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know what I mean? This is the thing. Anyone that you look at and that you want to emulate has been told, no, you'll not be successful because. So it's like, you have to be strong enough to get past that. Everyone gets told that. You can never take it personally.
Yeah.
You have to know in your heart that what you're doing is right.
100%.
But the fan feedback does help with getting that.
Honestly,
right.
I don't think fans fully understand just how influential they are. I really don't. I think some of them do, but I think a huge chunk of the fan base out there don't understand, like, you guys are the most important. Again, it is a cliche because everyone fucking says and everyone's like, oh, the fans are the most important, but it's like, nah, dude, you guys are. Like, you guys decide.
You want to hear something crazy?
Go for it.
Whenever I've been over, it's when I've gone, when I've reverse engineered from the audience reaction I want.
Interesting.
Whenever I've gone, I want the audience to feel this, and I reverse engineer what I'm doing, I've always been over. Whenever I go, I want to do this, never get over. That's why, like, with this new character that I'm doing, I need to reverse engineer it from how I want it to make the audience feel. Type thing.
Yeah.
You know? So that's kind of, I think, you know, just as I say, there's been a lot going on right now, so I haven't quite had the emotional energy to just run into 100%, but I'm kind of gearing myself up for that. I'm going to go into a period of like hyper productivity soon, but I want to just take a little second, just kind of, you know, just get everything chill and like, you know, just
breathe.
Yeah, exactly. Breathe for a second, and then I'm going to go, right, let's do this.
See, that's the thing for you, is I think that your brain is... Here's the thing, dude. I wonder what your brain is going to be like with, you know, fresh and rested. Because, again, your worst habit is that business brain being on at all times. And burning... Not burning yourself out, but just... not giving yourself a break and putting a lot of pressure on yourself and
do you know what the crazy thing is as well? When you put too much pressure on yourself, you're never in that flow state that generates ideas.
Yep.
I was saying to one of my friends, I said to her, like, I'm gonna have a day where I'm not bothered. Like, I'm not gonna do anything. I'm not gonna watch clips. I'm not gonna listen to music to try and find inspiration. I'm just gonna listen to what I listen to. I went on my music and I hit random, and the first song that came up, I was just like, and I listened to it and I went, that'd be really cool if my character did that. And I wasn't even trying, and it was like, oh, boom, I know exactly what I need to do now.
Yeah.
And it was just like, whenever you chase it too hard, it doesn't come.
It's the genius brain, bro. It's that genius brain. It's why we come up with ideas while we're having a shit. You know, it's why we come up with ideas while we're in, you know, in the shower. It's why we come up with ideas when we're walking to work or, you know, folding washing. It's like when we're doing mundane tasks, it gives us enough stimulus for our brain to be active.
Yes.
But it's not too much to where we're overstimulated.
Exactly.
It's that flow state, dude. It's
that's
like,
why driving probably helps with coming up with awesome ideas.
Yeah.
That's where I came up with most of my ideas. Like, see, for my entrances, like, it was either walking the dog or being in the car, like, and just having like random tunes on, just walking around. Like, I'll never forget when I was just walking down the road and I just came up with a always a jobber to me, and I was like, that's a belter. Like, I'm like, and then you reverse engineer it from there, and what you do is you add in, and I spend weeks going over this and going, oh well, I can add this bit and that bit, and you go through it so much details and revisions that it gets to a point where it almost can't be reverse engineered. It looks like you've just came along and gone, but, and it's just came out in a wonder.
Yeah.
And the truth is, it's 2 or 3 weeks of agonizing over every line and every note and every, you know what I mean?
Well, I think any sort of art that does well is like that. It's very easy to look at it from an outside point of view, because I've been privy to a lot of the stuff you've done weeks and weeks and weeks. Like, you know, even this character you're doing now, I knew about this months before.
It's probably about 6 months ago,
it's,
right?
Yeah, it's fucking ages ago. And you were talking about this stuff. And it's like, to everybody else, oh, Joe was gone for a bit and he came back and he was bigger and stronger and more tanned, different hair, doing new moves. And I was like, you guys, it seems easy, right? Oh, Joe just reinvented himself. Fair enough. What they don't know, what people don't know,
it's
is
like it's 2 years.
Dude, how long you've put work into, you know, getting bigger, getting stronger, the doing the hair, coming up with the new ideas for moves, rejecting, almost going against your base instinct, which is,
yeah,
I have to do more when it comes to moves. And how can I do less and make it more?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think genuinely it's made me a better wrestler. But you know what? It's probably enough putting me over, eh? We always do this, right? Oh, I just hate it when people put me over.
It's just terrible.
So what else is going on in the world right now, Dave? What's happening?
Not too much, man. Again, I'd say I'm chilling at the minute. I'm just sort of slowing down, giving myself a little bit of a break. Again, I'm similar to you in a way where I'm very much like, I'm very stubborn when it comes to certain things, and I'll push myself physically a lot,
mm-hmm,
to where I need to just like take breaks
and
stuff.
And you're kind of at that point.
I'm at that point where like my body's just like, the universe has basically told me like, bro, slow the fuck down. Like, what are you doing? Like, I had the British Open at the weekend. I just passed there. And then 5 days before it, sprained my ankle. Like, in training.
Of course.
Sprained my ankle in training 5 days before it. And it was like, lovely.
Nope, that is the door.
Oh, that is the door.
So we got cut off there.
We're
back. But I want to ask you this. This is a question that's been thrown around this week.
All right, go for it.
In my life.
Go for it.
What would your death row meal be?
Mother of pearl. What would my death row meal be? Oh, fuck.
You gotta decide in 60 seconds.
Oh, shit. Okay. Right. Honestly, I think my family's beef stew, mashed potato, Yorkshire puddings, broccoli, cauliflower, all that shit. Well salted, bit of gravy. Do that for like a massive portion. That's what I'm having. That'll do me right before I go. What about you?
All right. Tough one. I think I'd have a pizza in there. So I think I'd probably have like a pepperoni passion Domino's. I think I'd have a
this fat fuck. You're having multiple things. I don't know if we can do that.
Mate, you're gonna get killed, you know what I mean? It's like you might as well put the kitchen to work.
I didn't know we could get multiple things.
Dave's like, use our medium fries, eh? Like,
I'm like, oh no, hold the salt if you didn't mind. Like, oh no, go with a low fat option, like. Have you got that in a gluten free version? I like.
I react to it, eh? Like.
Have you got a Coke Zero? Aye.
You know what'd be the worst? Can you imagine if you were on death row? You got your death row meal and they got the order wrong. Like, what do you
do? Dude, that's why I'm not going to Tim Hortons for my death row meal. Because Tim Hortons is the fucking tips, right? Let's just be clear. Tim Hortons, right? Tim. Wherever you are, Tim. Tim Horton. Mr. Horton. Your stuff is great. My only problem is 3 out of 5 times you're getting it wrong. Okay, 3 out of 5 times I'm gonna order the chocolate glazed Timbits and I'm gonna get just regular glazed. 3 out of 5 times I'm gonna order a coffee with milk and 2 sugars and you're gonna give it to me with no sugar. Like,
It's fair. You've had a few bad experiences.
I have.
There's been times where I don't want sugar and they give me sugar and there's nothing worse. And then there's the queue at the drive-thru again. It's a nightmare, right?
It's true.
But there's a question here I'm going to answer, actually. But yeah, I would have that. I would have a massive burrito, massive beef hot sauce burrito with some probably hard tacos and beef in there as well.
I just hope you don't need a fucking an autopsy.
Well, yeah, I'll try and end myself before I get to the chair, to be honest. I'll just do it with the food.
Can we hurry up with this, lads? I'm needing a shite.
I know. what else would I have? And I'd have some sort of crazy burger, like some massive burger, multiple burgers. I think I'd probably have like, what would I have? I tell you what, some of the burgers I had in America were insane. Like,
oh yeah,
the American chains over there,
dude. I've been getting folk on like my Twitch, right? There's a bunch of people in Canada and America and stuff that I've got on Twitch, right? They come on and viewers, right? And they're always, and they come into the Discord, right? And they're sharing like the foods they get and they're like, dude, bro, so got this burger today, and they're like showing the burger and I'm like, you motherfuckers.
Oh dude, it's way better than here. Like food over there, like it's just everything's more expensive here. Like someone I know, Jason, he posted that like an iPhone is like, say you get like the latest iPhone with all the stuff, right? And it's like, let's say $1,500 in America. It's £1,500 here.
Yeah, it's exactly the fucking same. Yeah, dude, it's bullshit.
It is bull, right? And here's the thing. That's why when I got a Switch, I originally was going to get one in Canada.
Ooh.
But here's a question for you. What's the worst present you've ever received and why? Now, I'm going to answer this one. Do you know what yours would be?
No, but I'll tell you why. Because I'm notoriously bad at both remembering what people got me and remembering what I got other people. People will be like, oh, check this thing out. Remember that? And I'm like, what? They're like, yeah, you got it for me 2 Christmases ago. And I'm like, did I? I'm terrible. So it's not just I forget what people get me. I forget what I get other people.
Now, I'm going to say this right now. This is a point of contention in my family, right?
Oh, man.
So my mom and my stepdad are still salty about this.
This is right? Hendry now, lore right
it
here.
It is, right? And I'm going to say it's... Don't get me wrong. I've got the most supportive family anyone could ask for, right? But no one's perfect. No one's perfect. No one is perfect.
That's fair.
So that's all I'm saying. Don't pretend to be perfect. And this is all I'm going to throw out there is one Chris... Dude, look. See that nice guitar over there? They got me that 1 year.
Oh, damn.
You know what I mean? You can't argue with that.
Holy shit.
Exactly. That's a real nice. That's worth 2 Christmases, 3 Christmases, right? But, look, you got to take 1L.
You got to take... 20,
you can have... No one's got... It's only... No one's Khabib here.
It's
you
true.
Know what I mean? It's like everyone loses every so often, right?
Uh-huh.
So, one Christmas.
Oh, man.
Swear to God, right? So,
did they get you I'm going to for this. Did I'm they get you a Nintendo 63?
No, dude. No. Swear to God. So... I can't even. Do you know what? I know I'm gonna have an argument with my mom over this. I know I'm gonna.
Cause she listens, huh?
Yeah, she does. She does, right?
What's up, Mrs. Henry?
So this is what happened. So my dad, because I obviously like, so I've got my dad on one side, my mom and my stepdad on the other side, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I do Christmas at my dad's, then go to my mom and my stepdad's, and vice versa in different years.
Dude, double Christmas.
Yeah, that's it, dude. That's it. That's you. Listen, if you're a kid, you want to encourage those divorces. You know what I mean? You want to just stir the pot a little bit. Like whenever one parent tells you off, go to the other one. mix up, you know? that's what you got to do. Double Christmas, double birthday.
That's it, dude. That's
you can't go wrong. Everyone's like, oh, the emotional trauma. Two Christmases,
mate,
two birthdays.
Therapies for that, you know what I mean?
Exactly. We'll deal with that later. Dude, you can get
I turned out fine.
Yeah. Dude, you can get a PlayStation and an N64, right? But I got presents at my dad's house. Can't even remember what they were because, you know, it just didn't matter. They weren't that year, like, even if it was the best present ever, just this was the moment of that Christmas, right? So my dad takes me up to the house.
Oh, man.
And then they give me, it's like, I'm looking at the present, right? And, now this is in previous years, PlayStations, guitars.
Damn.
Like, dude, PS2. Dude,
oofed.
Top tier presents.
Oof.
Top tier presents this year. Open up, poetry book.
Oh.
Poetry book.
What was the poems of?
Dude, I can't remember. I was too emotionally scarred to remember any of the poems.
How old
were you? I had to write a poem to get over the trauma of getting a poetry book. Probably like 15 or something.
They're like, right, we'll get him these romantic poems in his book. That'll set him up nice. He'll get a good lassie. You'll be blessing us with grandkids.
Now, this is the thing. Like, I was obviously like a bit of an arsehole when I was like 15, right?
So
this is the thing, right? Rather than be like diplomatic about it.
Fronting a band and, you know, not been checked yet. You're like, fuck it.
Yeah. Rather than being diplomatic, I looked over at my dad and went,
you did not.
I did.
Dude,
they were raging. They were raging.
I mean, I'm not shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
There you go.
They are justified.
They are.
I can remember one of the best gifts.
I'm not saying I was right.
I mean, that's fair. You never did say that.
I'm sure I got people some garbage presents. Like, I remember one year, I got my nana. Like, you know, like...
I got my nana the same poetry book.
Dude, you sure you could just walk into Au Naturel and just go... whoosh, 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 just like the first four things you see, and it's like, that's all the grandparents taken care of.
That was more me, but with semi-chem.
that's it. You're like, I'll get this one a pregnancy test.
Is that fucking WCW Nitro cologne?
So, but I remember that, dude. You could go into Au Naturel with 20 quid and walk out with half the stock. And I remember going in there, right? And I came out with like this little paperweight car. A paperweight car. And it just had like these little balls in it, and you'd shake it. And I gave that to my nana. I was like, oh, nana will love that. Why would nana love a car paperweight? But I was, so this is the thing, I talk smack about the presents people get me, but I was like, you know,
yeah,
there you go, Nan, there's me, that paperweight car.
For me, it's the more the utility now, right? It's like, remember when you were a kid and you got socks and you were like, fuck's sake. Now,
oh, you'd love socks,
dude,
now.
Get me, see if you,
dude, I could probably use a poetry book after this, you know?
Dude, you could fucking write one of your own.
I hear a voice in do me so black.
Anyway, for me, it's more the utility, right? So, like, I remember I got a fucking.
How can you see into my eyes like broken doors? And then you've just got Scott Steiner on the time trial. Doing 30 belly to bellies. Just become like wrestling songs, just become like
the
soundtrack to your life.
Yeah.
Like when you get back on your feet finally, it's like, we're going out tonight.
You're like, oh, I've had it tough, like.
It's like the initial like shock of any tragedies that happen in your life. It's like
when you're in a period of time where it's really cool, but you don't know why. Just the 2004 SmackDown music plays. You're just like, come on now.
What was
remember that one?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Come on now.
Oh,
that
yeah,
weird
just
one.
Like, come on.
Here's my life, my time, my right,
oh,
my right.
Yeah,
that weird
yeah,
one.
Yeah,
like,
that.
You're like, this is cool, but I don't know why.
First time you go on a dating app, it's like...
Oh, And then you're like, aye, I'll go on the Tinder, I'll go on the Bumble, eh? And it's like when you decide to, like, okay, what, like, I'll try the Plenty of Fish, just the ECW theme just plays. It's just, wow. Oh my god.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to bring it up. Oh Jesus.
But yeah, the get the SmackDown one from 2004.
Oh no, I can't use that. We'll get done for that.
Oh, do you think?
Dude, I'm like actually green. Like, here this is like, you jump on Plenty Fish. You're getting desperate. You jump on Plenty
you're
Fish.
You're like, fuck, I'm going to the alternative.
And you're like.
I was just about to go
extreme. What a tune, man.
Belter.
I hope we get done for copyright. What man, a tune,
fuck it. It's worth it.
Ah, amazing.
God damn it. That's what it. That's what you do when you go on like farmersonly.com or some shit. You're like, I'm a farmer, like
it's like you go on like amishdating.com. It's like Dude, this episode should be called Extreme Championship Dating.
Oh my god. Man. Fuck's sake.
What a laugh, man. Let's call it there.
Yeah, guys, man.
Dude, we're going to end on the high spot, man.
Yeah, man. End on the high spot. That's
yeah.
it. That's the finish.
That's it, man.
Ref's giving us the go-home cue.
1, 2, 3. That's it. Oh, God, what a laugh, man. I was actually greeting there, man.
Yeah, you actually had legit tears.
I cry so easily when I'm laughing, man.
Yeah.
Literally, like, two jokes. It's like, psh. Dude, it's like literally someone tells like a not joke and I'm like doing the Ric Flair, sorry, I love you.
Oh, man. You just, like, someone goes, like, why did the chicken cross the road? You're just like that guy. Remember the guy who reunited with his son? He's like, me!
Somewhere in my heart, I still love you. Me! That's such a shame. See, when you see that clip's actually from, it's like so...
I know, it's bad. Like, oh. It's very bad, but out of context, it's...
But to be fair, he does go...
Yeah, in fairness, yeah, he does. It's quite the cry. It's quite the cry. You know when, like, you know when lassies are like, "Oh, I just ugly cry." He's like, "Mate, you think fucking I'll show you? I'll show you." What's this?
Gonna have to find it.
Oh shit!
I'm not gonna play the whole thing. That's like the auto-tune one. No, it's not. It's not.
Yeah, that's actually what he said. Like, that's his other voice.
You know what? I'm going to make this extra content. I'm going to cut off here. I don't know. It's too wrong. We need to pick something else.
Too much of a shame. Look.
It is a meme.
Look, I am not... I don't even know what the original context is. I actually don't know. I've never seen the full clip. I've only ever seen the guy going... Beep! I've only ever seen that.
So, wait there.
Oh, man.
Wait there. Here we go.
Oh, man.
That was terrible.
I know. Oh my god.
Dude, my abs
hurt. It's so perfectly timed. Oh my god.
Oh, man. Oh, right, we're going to call there,
oh,
folks.
Oh, shit. That's it, we're going home.
Dave, where can they get you on Twitch?
You catch me on Twitch at twitch.tv/DaveConrad.
All right, catch you next time, folks. Cheers.
Bye-bye.